Chiropractic Family, how's it going? Now on this podcast, Mark Andrew and I, we talk about fasting a lot. We talk about the ketogenic diet and a lot of different types of diets, but Bubs Naturals has a product. They have the collagen protein, which is amazing. They have these apple cider vinegar gummies, which are like crack, but they have they have these MCT oil powder packets that I've never used to do this, but in the morning I'll wake up and I'll put it in coffee, and the smoothness, number one, in terms of the mixing is amazing, but the consistency of my energy through the day because of the MCT oil powder is peak. Andrew, how's your experience with
that? Yeah, no, that's exactly it. It's like the best way to start the day. You're satiated, you're energized, and you're just ready to crush the day. So if you guys want to get in on this MCT oil powder, head over to bubsnaturals.com and at checkout, enter promo code POWERPROJECT to save 20% off your entire order. Again, Bubs Naturals, promo code POWERPROJECT to save 20% off. Links to them down in the description as well as the podcast show notes. What is it called? Radio?
Oh, yeah. Radioactive isotope.
See, maybe if it was
If it was in stereo,
maybe those studies would have been better.
I think if Insema, if he reincarnated and like started over, like he'd just be so fat. Like I think he just got really lucky.
The Nutty Professor. Natty Professor.
The fucking guy. Like he just wolfed down this it's just a drink, but damn.
He took a gulp and it was gone.
He's got an appetite.
Hibiscus.
I'm glad he doesn't really get mad. That wouldn't be good. Right?
Yeah, he is a very chill demeanor.
You don't realize how much I eat, man. Like that one meal, it goes.
I was thinking about it because I've been kind of doing some one meal a day stuff myself, and I was like, and I'm sitting there eating for like 3 hours. I'm like, man, he must be just like going nuts on his food.
Yeah. I will, I'll chain together meals.
Yeah.
I'll be like, I'm just having dinner, but like my steak is running out. So it's like, let me go start, cooking something else. Oh, what'd you forget?
You have like a half drunk Kratom over there.
Half drunk.
I don't want to go to the office right now.
Full drunk.
Yeah. I got a full drunk.
Let's go. Yeah. Give me my drugs.
It's the only type of drugs I take. Kratom.
It's mindbullet.com.
It's 10 a.m. somewhere.
We got some new ones in the house, too.
April showed them to me. Yeah. The sleep bullet.
We got sleep bullet.
Yep. What?
Yeah. We got some new different, like, rather than just like the capsules and the potions and everything, we got
little tabs.
We got tabs.
Damn.
They have other stuff in them, I think. Hey. Actually, no, it's just made with, it's made with just a different type of kratom.
Yeah, before I forget, because I always forget, mindbullet.com, you guys see us, we take this shit every day. Well, not every day. Most podcasts will take that. They like the potions. I like the capsules. I like
it. The potion made you throw up the one and only time you took it.
We're not supposed to tell anybody that.
It was too strong for you. Why do I laugh when I get on the mic?
Spinning and shit.
So, yeah, just be careful with the potions. If you're not ready for it, it'll knock your ass on the floor. Yeah. We were podcasting, and mid-podcast, I had to run out and... Yeah, so we don't always talk about that.
Doc, I was looking at Pitbull Torres yesterday when he took it. I was like, he's 180 pounds. He said he's never done this before.
His eyes glassy, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when he's talking about he's talking about smoking pot. Like he's so high right now.
He's like he'd say every day. He's like, just go home, smoke weed. But mindbullet.com, promo code POWERPROJECT will save you a shit ton of money. Links to them somewhere down in the description, podcast show notes. But yeah, for sure, just mindbullet.com and at checkout, enter promo code POWERPROJECT. I still don't understand how it's sold, how it's paid for, all that good stuff. But once you guys go there, you'll figure it out.
It's legal for now-ish.
Yeah.
Might as well stock up on it while you can.
But like also, though, that's how you know it's really good.
That's
because
right.
It's like people are trying to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because that shit's working.
Yeah.
It is really just weird how like, I don't know what that number is. I have to call that back. It's really weird how good it makes you feel. Mm-hmm. And you're not like, not high, but.
Yeah, you're high.
No, man. Until you've smoked weed.
Okay.
Because you've had shrooms, right? Mm-hmm. Which is like, I'm one with the earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've done kratom, which is like, I feel happy and I want to talk. When you smoke weed, it's like you're just high. Like
it's just a different level.
It's different, man. Mm-hmm. You know, like shrooms, I feel like there's a level of control. Kratom, control. Weed,
There's still control, but you're just out there.
You're just kind of interesting. Giggling. People don't talk about like high off of anything else, really. Mm-hmm. It's usually just off of marijuana, right? Where they kind of say they were high. I mean, somebody might, I guess, say high off of cocaine or something, but it's like, I don't know.
I still never try it. It's too many rare. People say it's like, you know, if you feel like Superman and you feel like the world is yours and you can do anything, that's not a good thing.
Like, you got to be humble.
Your inhibitions are gone and you're just like, yeah, let's fucking go. Like, I'm too scared to try it. I'm too much of a pussy.
I've never tried it. I would never.
I would love to see you on cocaine. I don't know why. I would just love to see him on different drugs because you're generally just like this.
Yeah.
Right? So
I think I'd be talking super fast.
I would be just.
You too.
I would just be ecstatic that like I no longer work for Slingshot anymore if he was on cocaine, because we would all be like. Get like the longest text message, be like, hey, this is what we're gonna do tomorrow. It's like, oh shit, dude, like
a long ass day.
Fuck, dude, that's like a 3-day photo shoot in one day. All right, I guess so. Plus we're gonna film Hustle Mania and then we're gonna start a new company and then we're gonna podcast. It's like, oh, here we go.
Some high performers do use coke for productivity, right? Yeah. Like people like that work hours.
There's a guy that's on Rogan that talks quite a bit about like how he periodically like does coke and does other stuff. He's like a professor.
That's awesome. I mean,
and he's like researched it and stuff. He just does like little dosages here and there. It's like sounds totally insane, but
microdosing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Microdosing cocaine.
I don't know.
You know,
sign me up.
Hey, I don't know.
Being real with all the
used
wild
to be in soda, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it used to be in Coke.
Coca-Cola.
Yeah,
it was.
I mean, probably some mild amount, but.
There's the aspect of just because we did something doesn't mean it's good.
For sure.
But with all the weird shit that we've learned on this podcast with all these guests, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if a little bit of coke does you some good.
You know? I wouldn't be surprised either.
But
well, especially like if you have like, I mean, people are looking for like chemical dependency, right? You know, what if somebody like my brother who was bipolar when he did something like cocaine, what if that just latched on to his brain? Like, holy shit, like this is exactly what I needed. And maybe it made him feel a little too good. Maybe he did too much of it. I don't know. But it would make sense that it like might help your brain produce stuff that maybe under normal circumstances you're missing.
And the amount of people who have done shrooms and it's literally helped them through traumatic experiences that they've had. There's so many stories of people who like have used it for therapeutic uses and they're just like depression. All these things are gone. I'm not saying go do shrooms. I'm just saying like there could be, I mean, different chemicals could have different uses.
Yeah. I mean, cause like the way like I used to, and everybody used to look at like LSD, but then now it's like, well, actually I don't see us ever looking at cocaine that way. Like it's.
Don't you have a little bit of personal experience?
A little bit. Yeah. Yeah. No, back in my day. Yeah. Like I don't have an addictive personality. So like, that's why I don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Because like I tried it and I was like, whoa, I see why people love this stuff. But it's not like cool for me to say that because that's just like saying somebody like, oh, I'll try it and I'll be just fine. Like, no, because you might not be just fine.
Yeah.
Like, you might get fucked up because I've done it more than once. That second time I was just like, oh, this is weird. I wonder if this is just like lower quality or I had less or what's going on here. Thankfully, the person I was with was just like, you'll never experience that first time again. I was like, whoa, okay. I was like, then it, of course, all came raging like into my head like, oh, then I'm going to try to do more. Like, yeah, I'm out. I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I can see why people like it. So, yeah, that was my two and done. Can't say one and done.
What's the deal with Elon Musk? He's like not buying Twitter now or what? What happened? Do you guys know?
Dog, I don't know. I heard a little bit, but I don't know truth because apparently they wouldn't disclose the bots. Oh, sorry, Andrew. I got to eat this mic's dick.
Yeah.
They wouldn't disclose the bots.
It is a dick, so you got to eat that dick.
Yeah, they wouldn't disclose how many bots there were or something like that. Uh-huh. I think they're claiming like it only makes up like 5% and he's claiming it makes up 90%. It's like, holy shit. Like, does that mean that Twitter's kind of fake? If he thinks there's that, I mean, what percentage would there have to be for us to be like, yeah, it's pretty fake. Like even above what, 25%? Like if 25% of the stuff on there is fake or driven by maybe not even fake, but controlled by like some sort of artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
I guess I would think that was kind of fake, right?
You know,
I was just going to hold on. Let me read it. I didn't mean to cut you off, but So just quick Google search, first thing that pops up. Don't know if it's true. It's from CBS News, so you take it with however you want to take it. Musk says he'll scrap Twitter by unless he gets clarity on fake volume. Tesla CEO Elon Musk is putting pressure on Twitter, saying that his deal to buy the company can't move forward unless it shows public proof that less than 5% of the accounts on the social media platform are fake or spam.
Yeah, which I don't buy. I don't think it's less than 5%.
Yeah, there's no way.
Cause you
there's
look
no
at,
fucking way.
You look at Instagram, because there are these websites for Instagram where you first off, you can see the accounts. You can tell by the interaction certain accounts get if they've purchased followers. Mm-hmm. I know a few people who have like 1.4 or 1.3 million followers.
Get four comments.
Not even, because you can purchase comments. You can purchase views. But you can tell by the interaction like probably 90% of your audience has been purchased. So you see that people can actually purchase views. They can purchase followers. They can purchase interaction. Where are all these accounts coming from? These accounts like have been made for these businesses. You can do the same thing with Twitter. You can do the same thing with all these different social medias. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a fucking lot.
I also wonder like what would be considered a fake account?
That's what I was going to ask.
You know, because like if I... Like, I don't really do much with my Twitter, but sometimes people have multiple accounts. So what if I have a couple that are dead that I've just never did anything about? Like, I wonder how would Twitter even be aware if something's like a bot? Like, what does that even mean? What does a bot even mean? Like, what are we even talking about here?
Yeah, absolutely. Because like, wherever you get a fake...
We're going down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, like, not a fake account, but fake followers and all this stuff. They also follow other accounts, right? Like then they also comment on other accounts. And I'm not saying that it's a real person, but like how would you be able to be like yep, that's a fake person. It's like, well, no, it had a unique, what is it called?
Email or something?
Yeah, EMI number on a cell phone. Mm. Like they can track all that shit down, and that's how you go to these places and they have fucking rooms full of cell phones and they're all watching and liking the exact same thing over and over and over and over. It's fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. But on each one of those, somebody made an account. Mm. So it's like, I get it. Yes, they are bots. But in my opinion, when I think of a bot, I think of like one person on a computer made like a million accounts. And then those million all do the exact same thing. Like that's what in my head, it's not like actual, like each an individual phone. Mm. So yeah, I don't know.
Why do you guys think that Elon Musk gets a pass? You know, like he's the cool billionaire, but then there's like the evil billionaire. There's Jeff Bezos, who people think that he's like going to do more harm than good. There's Bill Gates. Like, I don't know. Like, why do you think people, first of all, Bill Gates, like, why do you think people hate Bill Gates so much?
Because you know why people hate Bill Gates.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks like a pussy and he's, you know, he's
trying
flabby.
He does.
Yeah, you gonna hate the guy for that?
He does some real evil villain type shit. Mm. That's why.
Does he have the laugh?
It's the conspiracy stuff, right?
It's like all the stuff with the patent behind the thing that caused like 2 years of they own that for some fucking reason. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh, now magically you have the medicine for that. Like, that's convenient.
Yeah.
And then he's telling everybody to stop eating meat. And then he owns more farmland than anybody on the planet now. Huh. Is it because he's going to start growing vegetables and start selling that shit? Like, he does a lot of weird shit and he's way out of shape. And I'm saying all this as somebody who plays on Xbox, so I do have Microsoft shit in my house. Like, that's never going to end. So, yeah.
But we have another guy that's going to send people in a rocket to Mars. And that's okay with everybody.
I think it's only because
people are cool with
they
that.
Sign a permission slip.
This multi-planet guy, he's fine.
So with Musk, though, I think...
We're multi-planet humans?
Yeah, I think why Musk gets a pass is because like he'll do like funny shit that's like trending on... Well, he'll make something trending on Twitter.
He made a blowtorch, right? Or like a flamethrower or whatever.
The Boring Company. He's you know, that's the other thing is he has multiple businesses that are multi-million dollar businesses. But also, like, he'll, you know, just, like, tweet out, like, Dogecoin to the moon. And it's like, next thing you know, that shit's fucking going crazy. So a lot of people, other people have made money off of just following him on Twitter. He'll do some dumb shit like talk about Deus Ex, the video game. You know, it's like, wait, how the fuck do you know that? Mm. He'll tweet out, dude, Halo's actually a really good game. like, whoa, like he plays Halo?
It's like with it, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's why he's like the cool guy. And then, of course, trying to buy Twitter to keep speech free or whatever the fuck he said. Mm. Keep freedom free or some shit like that.
I would say like 10 years ago, Bill Gates was like put up on a pedestal.
Yeah.
And he had this like billionaire club where you donated, I think, like 95% of your profit from your company. I don't know like exactly what it meant, but it was. It doesn't mean that you are donating 95% of the money that you've ever made in your life. But it was him and a bunch of other people that were donating these like enormous amounts of their like profits and stuff like that. And so it seemed for a long time that he was into being a philanthropist. Mm-hmm. And if I did say that word right, it's a hard one to spit out. He had all these, I saw like a documentary, but it's probably funded by him and or one of his companies.
On Netflix?
Yeah, on Netflix, where he was like helping with sewage in like India and stuff. And I saw that and I saw it a couple of years ago and I was like, this, fuck man, this is above and beyond anything I would ever think of. This guy's amazing.
Yeah, I saw that because of you. You mentioned that.
Yeah.
And then I watched it. So yeah, like that's immediately what I think of when I think of Bill Gates because I saw that doc. But I think the main reason why people are just like all up Elon Musk's ass is just because he's been on Rogan. He's been on Rogan twice. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like people have heard
long form content.
People have been able to hear and like he acts like a troll on the internet, which is cool. I think it's cool when a billionaire is acting like a troll and fucking throwing jokes at people. Mm-hmm. But Trump? Again.
Some people didn't think that was cool.
Grandmother pussy. But like you haven't, I mean, I know Bill Gates has been interviewed, but they're always very professional interviews. They're not just conversations about bullshit, right? Zuckerberg. Can't fucking say his name right now. He was interviewed recently too, but it wasn't. He was on a podcast, but it was, again, it seemed very scripted. So I think since people have been able to see Musk, they've been able to relate to Musk, especially Joe's audience. Like, they love him, and I think he's sick too, but that's why. You know, you don't have any other billionaire that's done some shit like that.
I agree with that. He definitely speaks I don't know like what Mark Zuckerberg's IQ is, but like it seems like it's out of this world. And obviously Elon Musk is very smart, but Elon Musk somehow still talks like us.
Yeah.
And he just smoked a doobie on the show, right? Like he was just going with the flow, right? Like he got high and he was just hanging and he seems to have like similar complaints about stuff that we do too. Mm-hmm. Like he'll get frustrated with like similar shit that everybody
Elon's
else gets
just like me.
Yeah. It makes you think he's like more like us. But hearing like Mark Zuckerberg talk to like he was in court for something with our government and he was just destroying them. They're lawyers and stuff. They had some of the best people in the world trying to come at him and he was just like damn. Same with Jeff Bezos. It was like they were just crushing the government was like, I guess, trying to I forget exactly what it was they were doing a while back, but a bunch of them were in front of Congress and it just made our government look very stupid. I was like, this is not very good.
Yeah.
And I think with Musk also, it's like he doesn't really have like that corporate voice. You know, he doesn't have to hold a press conference for shit. Like nobody's going to write his you know, when he addresses the public or whatever the hell, that's helps
a really
a
good
lot.
Point.
You know, I don't know if I can say he's charismatic, but like he's not gonna like he'll respond by himself. He doesn't need a team to write a response for whatever.
Yeah.
So that's huge too.
That's probably why people liked Steve Jobs a lot. I know Steve Jobs was like, I think a lot of people thought he was an asshole too. Mm-hmm. But like when he did, like he talked about the phone and when he had something new to share, people went fucking crazy for that. The audience was packed. People were like holding on to every word that he said. Mm-hmm. And he seemed to like really have good control of the room. Seemed like he was a really good public speaker.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder what he would think of the M2 iMacs or MacBooks that we were talking about.
Yeah. We were talking earlier about like airdropping shit. And and some of this stuff like makes me Looney Tune. Like, people, when people have a Samsung, like that alone drives me nuts. I can't leave people like a voice note thing.
Nope.
Which like a voice note is like the greatest thing ever because sometimes you like don't have time to like text somebody or whatever. And sometimes I see that they like I don't even have the ability to communicate with this person in this way. Like, fuck him, man. I'm just not going to communicate. Andy Galpin, are you listening?
You could go to the voice note app, right? And he has to record, but then he has to send it to them. Which sucks, but it's another option.
But then even like videos and stuff and like things get all fucking jumbled up. But what I don't understand about any of the phones, well, at least actually on those phones, I don't even think you can send a video. At all. I don't know how anybody survives.
Wait for the okay boomer comment.
No. Like even like Androids can't send other Android videos either. They cannot do it.
Why do y'all make this choice? All the Android owners in the audience, why do you do it?
I don't know what they're
doing. Because we're Apple sheep. We don't want to pay for the overpriced Apple bullshit.
The other thing I don't understand is like, even when you are Apple to Apple, when you have an Apple phone to another Apple phone, they make this technology like a 4K and they do all this stuff, and then you can't even use that sometimes. When you go to send a like 4K, you know, video to somebody else, or sometimes we're trying to use stuff for work or to post stuff, then it turns into like some file or some shit, and then it's like trying to figure. I know I'm a million years old, and I know I probably sound like I'm a million years old, but like it doesn't work, and it's like why make the technology this far advanced? It's kind of like when what's the name of that camera that does the surround, that little tiny box camera years ago.
GoPro?
The GoPro. When the GoPro came out, they made that thing all fancy and they made it all HD and stuff right off the bat. And then if you like loaded it to your computer was like slow as fuck. And it was hard to use those files, hard to work with those files. Mm-hmm. And the same thing is always with the phone. Like they always are ratcheting up the technology. But then to receive the technology or use the technology, can't even barely use it.
Yeah, it hasn't caught up. I think, and again, I have no idea, but it has to do with like literally like you couldn't send like we'll just use a 4K TV in the mail, like in an envelope, right? Like you can't, it doesn't fit in your mailbox. So I think that's what it has to do with like the iMessenger. Like
like through my phone, I can't send you a sandwich.
Yes. There you
Even
go.
Though I'd love to.
But like that I think it automatically, that 4K file will like down res just so that way it doesn't take a million years to send to you. And then when you get it, it's like a fucked up file. But yeah, that is, yeah, it's just, I don't know, eventually it's going to catch up. And then when we start sending 8K videos, it's going to be like, this piece of shit only sends in 4K. Like, God, like might as well get a Kyocera.
It's the price of better quality, you know, like, you know, you want better quality videos. Those file sizes are going to be dummy big.
Yeah. Hey, do either one of you guys know on TikTok or Instagram, like what they load up? Like what will they actually handle in terms of their like pixels, in terms of like,
yeah,
whether it's HD or 4K, there's like no information. I tried to look it up a bunch of times.
Yeah. There's different things, but like the basic thing. So like what we see in everything, and I still have to make, I'll get to that later, but everything's 9 by 16. So 16 by nine. So it's widescreen, 1920 by 1080. So if you just flip that on its side, 1080 by 1920, now it's 9 by 16. So whatever the fuck ratio you want to get to that is good. The thing where it gets fucked up is that like TikTok, Reels, they all will usually force your video to be 30 frames per second.
It'll be compressed in some way.
And then it will be compressed. And the more accurate you can be with your compression on export, so like let's say the megabits or whatever the fuck is like 10 on the export. If you upload it to TikTok and Reels and it's like should be closer to 4 or 5, then it's going to compress your shit. But if you can get it right on the money to where it's like 4 or 5, then it won't have to compress your video and it'll look a little bit better because it's not doing its own internal compression. But you're right. There's no information on all that shit. You just have to nerd out and know exactly what to search for.
God damn.
And this is all from somebody who doesn't even fuck with that stuff anymore. I don't have time. So it's just normally like, oh, does that look good? Cool. Go.
Cause you always try to record like with the best quality, but then you're like, does it even matter?
Nope, it doesn't. And that's when everybody freaks out over like, oh, this doesn't shoot 4K or my screen's not 4K. Your eyes can't tell the difference. Never will.
4K looks real good though.
On?
on a screen.
What? How big of a screen?
My phone.
You can tell the difference between 1080 and 4K on your cell phone.
I think on YouTube I can, because YouTube allows you to put a 4K video.
Mm-hmm.
So when 1080p versus 4K, because I used to post like on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
I can tell the difference.
The video quality of the newest phone seems to be superior in some ways. It seems to be better, right?
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, like, on a screen that's not 4K, you're not going to be able to.
Just a small screen?
You're not going to be able to tell. No.
Yeah,
no.
The screen itself needs to be 4K as well.
Yeah. I do need a new phone. The new one's kind of not the one to get, though.
The Pro Max?
The new one.
The 13?
14.
14's not out yet.
I know.
Did they preview it or something?
A little bit, yeah.
Oh.
But from what I understand, the 15 is going to be like a huge game changer.
Oh, really?
But like big shock, oh, the next one is going to be good, but the next one's going to be better. Like, well, of course, but like they might go to USB-C and then, of course, add all kinds of shit to the camera and whatnot.
How you guys juggling shit right now? Because we're doing a lot of these shows. I'm doing Smelly's Kitchen. I'm running. I'm lifting. Are you guys holding down the fort okay? How you doing, Andrew? You got a little freaking baby at home.
Yeah, I am leaning a lot on my wife. She's doing a lot, and I'm just grateful. But I was talking to Nseema about this. But just the alarm clock just keeps getting earlier and earlier. So, like, I had it set for 6, and things were, like, pretty good, but I was constantly rushing, like, oh, I didn't get to eat today, so I'm going to have to, like, fast, accidental fast. And then it's like, let me put that up to 5:30. It's like, okay, I ate, but, like, fuck, I'm kind of running late. I didn't get to do my stretching. Like, something always got skipped. It's like, let's do 5 o'clock. Like, I think we're getting there. Like, but I'm still rushing. So, and rushing because, like, when I get to the gym, it's like, oh, fuck, I... like can't get on this machine or whatever it may be. So today I bumped it up to 4:30, and that was a pretty good sweet spot, especially because we didn't start early today. But that's what I'm doing right now, is just kind of setting the alarm back up to that 4 a.m. hour. That's helping a lot. Everything else has been, I don't want to say a crapshoot, because that's not the way it is, but like I don't know if I'm going to get in the cold plunge tonight. Because I was doing it first thing in the morning, and it happened every day. But now that like it's happening in the afternoon or later, it's like, ah, shit, like it's, you know, this, that, and I got to go to bed. So it's like, I don't know if that's going to happen. Dinner has been kind of like a rush. So like I have to start prepping that the night before way more often than I think, because it used to be just like, oh, can you know, you start thawing some meat or something. Now it's like, okay, yeah, I'll try to get to that, but shit's kind of going crazy with Aurelius right now. So it's like, fuck, I should have done that when I left. So little things like that, that I still have some loose ends that I got to tie up.
Cold plunge is a lot easier before you eat. I'll tell you that much.
And there's that too. There's that.
When I get home, you know, if I eat like I'm done, I'm not going to cold plunge.
Yep.
It's just, I don't know what the difference is, but there seems to be some sort of big difference.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe you're too relaxed after you ate. You're just like, oh. You're like too relaxed to want to do anything difficult at that point. So for me, it's very difficult after I eat.
Same. Yeah. So that's actually what would happen to me too. If I ate, it's just like, it's probably not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is by the time I get home, cause I'm eating one meal in the morning and then I might have a protein shake. I might have a legendary tasty pastry, which is amazing. So I might have something very small, but it's going to be like high in protein in the middle of that, but that's it. So my next meal, I'm like really, really wanting that next meal. So when I get home, I know it doesn't take very long to jump in that cold plunge, but it's like another thing. It's like, I'm going to have to get cold. I'm going to be wet. I got to dry off. I got to change. I got to da, 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 and then start cooking. It's like, I'm just going to go straight to cooking.
Quick question for both of you guys. Have you guys pH checked your cold plunge?
No, son.
All right. Take those pH strips and dip it in there just to make sure that the pH level on the water is good, because you want to be making sure that water is nice and sanitized. Also,
I probably got to just change it all out.
You might not need to. No, trust me, you don't. As long as you just put a little bit of the sanitizer in and then check the pH, because it has the pH increaser or decreaser, y'all are fine. You don't need to change the water.
How about the filter? Do you have to?
Once a month. Just set a reminder on your phone once a month to change your filter. They give, they put 6 filters.
I'm 1.5 months in.
Then just change the filter.
Have to change it.
Actually, another thing you could do. Sorry, guys. For all of you who have cold plunges, make sure you change the filter monthly. But what you can do, if you don't have another filter, is you can legit take the filter out, turn the cold plunge off, take the filter out, rinse it off, and put the filter back in. Mm. It's that simple. And nice. It takes literally 2 minutes to do.
And you can do it with the plunge full of water.
Yes.
Okay.
You do it with a plunge full of water. So just
maybe,
make sure.
Maybe I'll do that today.
Yeah. Go find the YouTube video on it. Okay. Just make sure. Cause yeah, some people don't ever do that. And the plunge is really cool because you don't have to change out the mm-hmm. water. You know, when you get a fridge and do that shit, you have to change out the water consistently cause it gets nasty. Mm-hmm. You don't have to plunge. But one thing I noticed when doing breath hold stuff in the plunge after eating, extremely uncomfortable. Not recommended. It's not recommended that you do breath hold stuff anyway. I ain't going to be responsible for a death, but definitely not after eating. You know, they always told you as a kid, don't go in the pool after you eat. Well, don't go fucking plunge and breath hold after you eat.
It's hard to breathe sometimes. Yeah. If you, especially, right in there.
Too easy. We're going to start pushing it further back.
Yeah.
We need like a little mini backboard over there.
We do. We need. We do.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Make it look more professional.
It'd be nice.
Now he wants to throw everything over there. He wants to throw his caveman coffee. Hot biscuit tea over there.
That's just really good. We don't have no code, but guys, check out K-Man Coffee.
We do have a code. They can use Smelly's Kitchen, I believe. I think
really?
It works, yeah.
Okay.
It gives them 20% off.
Use Smelly's Kitchen.
Yeah, go for it. We love those peeps.
Does that one have caffeine?
No caffeine. It's in the fridge if you want. You want me to go grab you one?
I'll get it. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Our sound guy's leaving. He
fine.
Produces everything.
Just Insima, do the thing with the crank, and then you'll
nothing's,
figure it out.
Nothing's going to work. We're fucked. You're going to try another shot?
Oh,
that was bullshit.
It
I saw
rim
that.
Rim jobbed, man.
Yeah. It went in and then it poked right back out. That happens sometimes.
And I do have to say this at the middle of the episode because whenever we say at the end, not as many people go. We're at like 1430 people in Discord right now.
Damn.
Almost 1500 members just going at it, talking, helping each other out.
That's
we
great.
Dip in there all the time. So go to the Discord, the link's in the description. I'll tell you guys again at the end of the episode, but go to the Discord, the link's in the description.
People lifting, people getting in shape, people getting jacked, people losing weight, right?
Yeah, and they're giving us topics, man. There's a lot of things that they're really curious about. So
yeah,
that's check awesome. Out the Discord community because they're popping.
6 calories.
And if you're not nice, we'll kick you out. Pat Project family, I hope you guys are enjoying this bite. Did you know that cocaine increases your dopamine levels by 2.5 times above baseline?
Okay.
Why is this important?
Why is this important, Nsima?
Because, you know, a really cool thing that we learned from Andrew Huberman is that getting yourself into cold water or cold water exposure, like the cold plunge, does the same thing.
What?
2.5 times above baseline, and you have those sustained dopamine levels for up to 4 or 5 hours after cold exposure. This is why we love cold plunging so much. I cannot say this enough. It has been one of the best additions to our daily routines. If you can't already, just take cold showers. But if you want to take to the next level, get the cold plunge. And Andrew, how can they do it?
You guys got to head over to thecoldplunge.com. And at checkout, enter promo code POWERPROJECT to save $150 off. I keep saying it. I'm going to keep saying it till I'm blue in the face and not blue from the cold, blue from holding my breath. This has been the absolute best thing I've ever done for my mental health. I can't say it enough. So again, thecoldplunge.com, promo code POWERPROJECT. Links to them down in the description as well as the podcast show notes. Let's get back to this podcast.
6 calories? Can you afford that, Andrew? You okay?
I don't know. Let me check my macros.
You okay for today?
Hmm.
Can you spare 6?
Dude, sometimes it really is wild when people are like, oh, 6 calories? I can't fit this in my macros.
Like real stress.
Dude, there's one whole carb in here.
I remember people telling me in the past, they're like, I wouldn't eat a Quest bar because it had like 8 grams of fat. It's like too much, represents too much of my fats for the day. I'm like, what in the fuck kind of diet are you on? Well,
yeah, that's like over 1/5 of my daily allotment. So that's a lot.
You know, go for it, man. Fuck it.
But, you know, sometimes you do need to go through that phase of like eating and being so stringent.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Because like, I ain't tripping over nothing these days.
Ooh, that's good.
But there were times where I'd be like, fuck, I'll be 4 grams over my fat calories. Mm-hmm. I can't do this right now. You know what I mean? It's just...
Yeah, you and I went back and forth when I was doing that shit. She's like, dude, I fucked up. I only had like 25 grams of fat. Do I cut out my protein and just have butter? Or like, what do I do? And you're just like, calm down. You're going to be fine. It's one day. It's like, okay. But the thing is, I did it yesterday too. What the fuck?
That's the thing about it, though, especially when you're tracking. And Mark, actually, there was a question in the Discord about you and tracking. We'll hit it up in another episode. But when you're tracking initially, if you do make a mistake on one day, just try not to do it the next day, because that does happen. It is a slippery slope when you're like, you do it one day, then you do it the next day. You do it the next thing, you're like, I don't give a fuck about this dieting shit. Doesn't fucking work. Fuck this. Just don't let it be a slippery slope.
Yeah. I've been getting a kick out of, like, well, first it started with, like, when I noticed it was with the fat-free cheese. There you
People
go.
People were roasting you.
But it's like, come on, bro. Why are you eating fat-free cheese? But then
those were funny ass comments,
but
man.
Here's the thing, though. Like, I would have somebody, like, if I was full fat cheese, come on, bro, why are you eating full fat cheese? It's like, fuck. When I post a picture of bread, come on, bro, why are you eating bread? When I go full carnivore, bro, seriously, you're only eating meat? Come
Everyone
on, bro.
Has something the same.
I'm like, there's somebody for every fucking thing to just come out and be like, come on, bro, like
2% milk. Are you sure?
Come on, bro.
Full milk?
Fuck, dude, seriously? Come on, bro. You're wasting calories.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, like, diet soda. Come on, bro. Yeah. Really? You're going to put those chemicals in your body?
I've seen that comment,
You're
too,
having a regular, like, Coke? What the fuck's wrong with you?
Fuck that. Coke Zero.
Guys, yeah. Let Andrew live his fucking life.
That's what I was telling Russell. I'm like, dude, this is why I fucking hate social media. Because, like, I don't post shit because there's always somebody that's, like, a fucking internet genius. And I'm like, dude, and I'm nobody on, like, social media, but they always come out. I'm just like, well, fuck all you.
But we love you at the same time.
No, I absolutely do. Because there are some, like, people that I actually, like, know and, like, interact, and, like, they like, talk to my wife, too. Like, yeah. They, like, follow everybody, and it's, like, really cool. But it's the ones that don't follow me that, like, come out of nowhere. Mm. I'm just like, like, you had to seek me out. Mm. Like, I'm not cool with that.
You able to get all your shit in lately, Nsema? Jiu-jitsu. You've been doing all kinds of weird moves on the turf here at Super Training. We've been rubbing our asses and our backs and our...
Yeah, man.
We've been humping all the equipment at the gym. Have you been had time to get everything in that you need to get in, you feel like?
Yeah.
Nice. How are you juggling it? You have, like, you have specific days that you kind of devote to jiu-jitsu or specific times? Like, how does it... Do you just have to go to jiu-jitsu later in the day or...
I get in jiu-jitsu as much as I literally can. So it's like usually four times a week. This week is probably also going to be four or five. And then I'm able to, luckily, since the podcast is connected to the gym, either before podcast or after podcast, I do the stuff I need to do. My training is more so focused on, again, maintaining muscle, but I'm trying to be able to do a lot of really wild calisthenic type stuff. So I do a lot of mobility work. I do a lot of body weight work. And I think it's really cool how these things that some would look at as, like, simple movements, some of the things that you'll see from guys like Ido Portal, they're very fatiguing when you've never done them before. Mm. Just like somebody who goes into jiu-jitsu and has never done any of those movements, so it wrecks them. That's the same way I feel right now doing a lot of this body weight stuff, because it's like, I don't do this. Even though I do a lot of jiu-jitsu, these are just weird positions for me to get to. Single leg stuff. It's wild. And I dig it because I'm getting better at it slowly over time. And I already see the benefit that it has in terms of my movement on the mats. So
some stuff that we do isn't really, like, doesn't require much energy. Like when you do, like, a foam rolling or you're doing, like, myofascial release, it doesn't really require much muscle or anything like that. But if you're working on mobility work, you know, and the way I've been working on mobility work is normally it's been simultaneous in a circuit with something else. Mm-hmm. For example, I might do, like, a Jefferson deadlift mixed in with some slant board squats, mixed in with some dumbbell bench press or something. I got two movements where I'm kind of working on range of motion and moving around a little bit more than I have been in the past. And then I have another range of motion that is I don't know, just kind of a bro movement, getting a pump. So I'm kind of working in everything. But I think something else that's really helpful is that the three of us, when we come to Slingshot World headquarters every day, we spend a lot of time together. Like, we're in the gym together. We don't always really – actually, I don't even know if the three of us have really ever officially worked out together. Maybe a handful of times.
A
couple times, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like we're, like, working out together, but we're in the gym together. We're getting our steps in together. And obviously when we're podcasting together. So we're really fortunate in a sense that a lot of the stuff that we want to do for the day is knocked out. Mm-hmm. You know, then for you, you have jiu-jitsu. Andrew has his home life with having an infant, which is infinitely nearly impossible. And, you know, I've been working on running. I know Andrew also works out at home a lot, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, I don't know. Every once in a while, I will just kind of get a hair up my ass, as I think that's the term or the saying, a hair up my ass. Yeah.
That's cool.
And I'll just be like, dude, I want to get on a step mill. Like, I want to do some cardio. I even looked at, like, possibly purchasing one. Like, so I'm checking out, like, Facebook and Craigslist and stuff for a used one.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it comes and goes. This time around, it came and I'm like, you know what? Like, let me just see what it costs to join a gym down the street. I looked and I was like, wait, what? It's like under $200 for an entire year? I was like, is that
seriously?
Is that correct? And yeah, it was $180 for an entire year.
Wow.
And so I'm like, even if I just walk in and just do the step mill, that is definitely going to pay for itself. So I have another like place that I can work out, and they just happen to have the free motion dual cable cross machine where I do all of my movements. And I'm mm-hmm. like, this is fucking awesome. I can be as loud as the weights will be. Like, I don't grunt, I don't yell, especially in a like commercial gym like that. Mm. But like at home, like I can't really go too nuts in the morning, because if I wake up my son, it kind of like sets the tone for the day, because it's like, well, he didn't get his sleep, so he's going to be grouchy. And it's just like, there's a domino effect of things that can kind of mess everything up. So like, you know, when I, like if I'm doing like a you know, cable press or something, and it's like, I have to gently put the weight down. I can't like, just like let it slam. Mm-hmm. So it's tough, but.
You ever tried hot boxing his ass?
What?
Huh? No, keep going.
Like, what?
I'll talk to you about it after
like,
the
what's
show.
What's that? No, I haven't. But I have my.
Just go fart in his room. A little
is that what you're talking about? Like, what is this?
Nah, just hotbox him. Just
no.
God, no. Let the air.
Let the air get to him.
I'll fuck with you. Don't do that to your child.
He'll wake up so hungry. That kid eats so much. Yeah, everybody, he was joking.
It's a joke.
So I got my home gym where I have, you know, everything I need. Got a treadmill. It's pretty good. Yeah. I now have a commercial gym. And then because I'm in Elk Grove, so I'm, you know, really close with Charlie Zamora, like I could hit him up and go to damn near any gym. There's one called Reset Fitness or fuck, I feel so bad. Dude's so cool. It's like this dude, he bought this gym and it has like every piece of equipment you can think of.
No, nice.
Reset Rich on Instagram. It's called Reset Fitness. It's like a nice hidden warehouse gym. It's so nice. But like, we can go there like 5, 4 a.m. in the morning, whatever.
Rich Gonzalez?
Yeah. Dude's super cool. He's getting strong too. So if you're in Elk Grove, highly recommend that gym, because it has, they have racks on racks on racks.
Jacked.
Yeah. And that's a really dope gym too. So that's another place that I can go train. But then, of course, we have here. So it's like, no matter what, I'm surrounded by, you know, fitness, you know, minded people. My wife's usually going to be up training like about the same time I am.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, I'm making it as impossible to miss exercise every day. That's really what my goal was. And then with like this new commercial gym, it's like, I just have to wait for somebody to get off the cable machine, because mm-hmm. there's two, maybe three muscle groups that people work on this machine that can do you can work your whole body on. But if somebody sets up on that cable machine, they're going to do chest flies mm-hmm. or they're going to do bicep curls. And on the rare occasion, somebody's going to grab it and do a tricep extension.
Mm.
I don't want to hate on anybody, because that's not what we do, but they're underutilizing the cable cross. It's the most versatile piece of equipment, and it's the most underused.
Yeah. You guys should check out Doug's book. He has a lot of cable
So that's what I do. I do all of the break 20 movements with, I just need a bench and the free motion cable machine.
Mm-hmm.
They're very expensive, so that's going to be like probably the next purchase, though, eventually.
That's cool. You're still getting it all in, though.
Yeah, everything. So each day is like, it's not just like a leg day or like upper body day. It's like almost a full body.
Yeah.
So it's like non-opposing muscle groups. That's what it is. And each workout takes me, I don't know, maybe maybe an hour, but I will also include like 20 minutes of cardio in there. And that's been really good.
When you're, when your kid wakes up, does he like wind up? Like, I don't know how, like, how old is he right now?
So he's 1.5.
Yeah. When he like wakes up, if he wakes up crying, does he wake up crying sometimes?
Once in a while he will. Yeah. Does Not
do,
every time.
Do like the wind up cry where it kind of starts out kind of soft and it just goes like, sounds like sirens coming your way.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's funny. Like we're saying he's so advanced that his terrible twos have hit early. So he, it's been, we're learning, man. I'm learning as a parent, but yeah,
it's just put him outside.
Oh man. He won't put on shoes or anything, which is good. But like I got him some like very minimalist sandals. I'm like, dude, I just need you in something. Your feet are going to cook out here in the sun. You don't want them. So I'm like, all right, I guess. Got him some Vivo barefoot shoes. They come in on Monday, so hopefully those work. But yeah, no, his when he wakes up, it's just like the, hey, I'm awake. Hey. Hey. And then, like, oh shit, he's up. But for the most part, when he doesn't cry, he will get himself out of bed. Like he'll crawl out and like just risk it all and just like jump down because it's still pretty high for him. And then he'll just walk in the room rubbing his eyes. I'm like, dude, that's crazy. You're 1.5 years old and you're doing that.
He's like in a crib kind of thing?
No, he's just on our bed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He just sneaks on out of there.
Yeah, he's on our 8 sleep mattress just kicking it all by himself.
He's like, I don't want to sleep on some jank mattress.
No,
He needs the top of the line.
We've tried, and he's just like, nope, not good enough.
One thing that I think real quick that everybody can add in that's listening, because, Andrew, you notice that, you know, you'll take the rack in the gym, or not the rack, but the cable machine in the gym, and it has these prongs, and when you hit your glute minimus on it, which is this right here, right?
Yeah.
And you do also some stuff with your lower back, you immediately feel good. And what I quickly want to say is like all of us, every single day, we're smashing shit, especially after Chris Kodowski came here.
Oh, yeah.
Because we can feel how much of a difference it makes for our performance. And one thing that happens is when people start doing that type of stuff, and again, I suggest you guys grab Chris's book. They're on Amazon, Chris Kodowski. He shows you what you should be doing. Lower back Bible or whatever is the first one you should get. But every day, this is a habit you should have to, you know, smash different parts of your body with something hard, the So Right, the Supernova from Kelly Starrett, something. But that's something that we're all doing every day because it makes a difference.
Yeah. How do people know what part of their body they need to smash?
I think I'll tell you about that. I think that especially like going over Chris's book for most people ends up being hamstrings is a rough part. Glutes is a rough part. But if you're ever smashing against something and you feel like, oh, that's a rough spot, explore. I think we made the joke of like, oh, you know, I'm exploring my body again. Like if you find tough spots, go over that, because even Chris worked on Mark and he relieved some adhesions, which physical therapists still say you can't get rid of people's adhesions. But Chris literally did that for you, and he's done that for many people. But you can get rid of adhesions in your own body if you smash across those areas enough. So hamstrings, glutes, quads, it looks weird, but it will make a difference.
I think you'll just know a lot of times.
Yeah.
You'll just feel it. And there's certain areas that are, you know, more going to be more tender than others. And if you check on the other side and there's really not much there, that's how you kind of also know that you probably stumbled upon a problem area. And then you want to try to go over that area several times. You want to try to breathe through it. And also, if possible, if you can move around a little bit and you can kind of like active release the area a little bit, you'll be able to get into the muscle better when the muscle is shortened than you will be when it's at length. So you want to shorten the muscle, not contract it, but shorten it a little bit, dig in hard, and then extend the, let's say you're digging into your bicep. So you dig into your bicep with, let's say, like a lacrosse ball, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You kind of bring the arm up. It's not really flexed. And as that lacrosse ball is sitting in there, then you're going to kind of lengthen. And you want to continue to do that. And over a period of time, you'll be like, oh, that shit feels better. And sometimes you literally feel a little bit better right there on the spot. Other times, like whatever you have going on, it might be something that's been there for a while.
Yeah, before, like, I guess I would say it feels almost like a bruise under the skin is kind of like, so like when you're rolling on something and you, when you do have a visible bruise, when you touch it, you're just like, oh, that hurts. Mm-hmm. And then you avoid it. So that's kind of what I used to do also when like foam rolling. I was like, oh, that actually hurts. Maybe I shouldn't mess with that because obviously that's hurt. But now when I do find something, I'll just be like, oh, let's see how much further I can lean into this.
Yeah.
You know, and see how much I can breathe through it and work through it.
Yeah. Explore on top of it. And you know, obviously, if it's extremely painful, be slow, be mm-hmm. careful. But, you know, these spots are probably spots that are going to allow you to get a bit better movement. Something that is usually really rough for people is the hip flexors. Mm. You know, when you take the Kelly Stretz Supernova or any of these, like a lacrosse ball, you can get that cheap on Amazon and you start rolling on top of your hip flexors. That will get to you.
Have you seen the boner project that's going on with Stretz?
No, I have not. What is the boner project?
Kelly Stretz, our boy.
God.
With Ready State, that's the name of his brand, Ready State. As people know, he has an app and helps millions of people around the globe, and he has been for a long time.
Oh, wow.
Helping people with their mobility and helping people get like unstuck. And Kelly Stretz's been talking about like myofascial release type stuff for a very, very long time. He's been talking about mobility. Back in the day, he had Mobility Wad. He would do Mobility Wad certifications for CrossFit and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you guys know who the fuck I'm talking about. He's been on the show many, many times. Well, Kelly has this new project he's working on, helping people not just get, I guess, more boners, but to be able to hold on to their boners
Kelly!
A little bit longer. Yeah, yes. Thank you so much, Mr. Stretz. And I wrote on one of the things. I was like, penis pumps work really good, too.
Guys, but I mean, real in truth,
this has to help with blood flow because a lot of people are super tight through maybe kind of like, I guess maybe you'd say from the sternum down to like the thighs, like in that area, the people are really sensitive. I know for myself, when I start digging into the stomach and digging in with the psoriasis and doing some of that stuff in the psoas, it's really tight. But what Stretz is pointing to here is interesting because he's not just talking about the stomach and not just talking about the psoas, he's talking about the adductors as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of areas that are super tight that don't you won't be able to get blood flow to that area as efficiently if you're really rigid. But one thing, and we were just talking about this in the gym, is not only will, again, smashing a lot of these areas help you guys out, but as we've been digging into breathing and as we've been breathing better and learning how to improve that, that will make a big difference on your sexual function too. Because you think about, you know, first off, let's say an individual has a tendency to breathe through their mouth. Okay, then now these are shallow breaths. You're not getting in any out nitric oxide, which does help with a lot of those aspects.
Ladies, do not hook up with mouth breathers.
Yeah.
It's going to be a rough life for you, I think.
Don't put them down like that, Mark. Let's try to help those mouth breathers breathe through their nose and have better dicks.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, good point. Good point. Right? Breathe through your nose, guys.
Breathe through your nose. But, you know, one thing I learned is, you know, when you're trying to keep your stomach flat and you're breathing, typically what happens is you're flexing your abs so that your stomach's flat, right? And when you start breathing, your breaths naturally end up being more shallow because you're breathing and you're not breathing into your diaphragm. I'm not saying that you need to go like that and belly breathe, but what happens is when you're so focused on keeping your stomach flat, your breaths are more shallow. You're not letting your diaphragm expand and constrict. So what happens with a lot of people is their breathing will naturally start, even if through their nose, it'll end up here so that their stomach doesn't protrude. Mm. But if you stop fighting that and be okay with just, you know, letting your stomach relax a little bit, you're going to be able to take bigger, deeper breaths into your diaphragm with your nose. And if you're able to breathe better, you'll move better. You won't be as constricted. That's another thing that will just add a little bit extra to your movement, your activity, all of that. So we're going to be getting more people that are experts on this on the podcast because there are things that we've said, like taping your mouth and all these other things that people are like, that's bullshit, that's bro science. It's not bro science. Mm. A lot of this is huge.
I mean, you know, sometimes you maybe somebody, some of the people listening may have experienced an injury like this before. I don't know if any of you guys had an injury that like really negatively impacts your breathing. Obviously, like a broken rib and stuff like that, it's going to massively impact your breathing, right? But I've had injuries where they're just like tweaks, just from doing like good mornings and various exercises. I'll have a tweak and it's actually kind of more like in my upper back. Mm-hmm. And when I go to breathe, I kind of like I can't get that second breath that you're sometimes looking for when you're training. And so many things can compromise your breathing. And I think throughout our day, if you can pay attention to your body, not just your breath, but pay attention to your body and your breath, and you'll kind of be watching TV and you'll be like, why am I making a fist right now? Like, is somebody coming into the room threatening me right now? Like, am I about to get into a fight? Like, what am I doing? You might notice it sometimes just when you're talking to somebody. You might be – I notice it sometimes we're on the podcast. I have some – we got somebody on the show and I'm excited and anxious and I'm just like, what – fuck, dude. Why don't I just – I'm trying to relax that a little bit. And we've talked before about relaxing the eyes. You know, what a really awesome cue that is, to relax your eyes, relax your mouth when you're running, when you're doing various things. It could be really easy to have that sun kind of beating down on you, and as you're going, you're like gritting your teeth and you're making all these crazy faces. But you also might want to try to think, oh shit, I should like, how is the rest of that registering in my body?
Yeah.
It's, if I'm gritting my teeth, then the body's probably like, hey, we're kind of in like a fight mode right now. And maybe you can handle it in a different way, and maybe you can do it more smooth.
Yeah. For all of you that are listening, I just want to say, because, I mean, there's so much more when it comes to this, and so many applications of breathing through your nose and learning how to breathe slowly and actually learning how to breathe less. There's so much to it. But my one thing I want to say is, don't underestimate it. Because as we're saying this, there are some people who are already like, oh, fuck that. It's like, it's not – the way you breathe doesn't make that much of a difference. But it can make a difference on your stress. It can make a difference on the way you sleep. It can make a difference on your appetite, your performance, how long you'll be able to last doing different things. It makes a difference in so many areas. And it's the one of those things that you're doing automatically every single day. So we're going to get more people. We're going to talk more about this. But just understand, like, this nasal breathing shit is free for you to fix. And when you do fix it and you really start breathing better and more efficiently, you will feel so much better.
Brian McKenzie believes in it so much. I mean, Brian McKenzie is big time in the endurance world. People go to him a lot for being able to run ultras, and a lot of CrossFitters and various people over the years have gone to him. And he thinks, like, just don't do anything unless you can do it nasal breathing. He thinks that, like, almost all of your training, not all of your training, but a large majority of your training, he believes, should be done in and out of the nose. And if you think about when we sit here and talk about lifting, we share the same notion. Like, if you can't do it for 10 reps when you're starting out, when you're new, can't do it for 10 reps, and you can't perform the reps to where we all can agree, like, yeah, those are reps. Those are real reps. If you can't do them unbroken, then there's really no reason to start to get into heavier weights. And then even when you do get into heavier weights, if you're supposed to do a 3x3 or a 5x5, all those reps, all those sets, week in and week out, doesn't matter what week you're in or how long you've been doing it for, they should look really, really good. Can there be a little wiggle room for there to be a small variation? I think you kind of have to have that, just because you may not always know the exact weight to have on there. And from a mental perspective, sometimes you need to push to certain weights and have certain weights on the bar just for you to get over the 3 plates or the 4 plates type thing.
And then, so on the aspect of going back to, like, nasal breathing or just breathing in general, we hear a lot of people with, like, you know, stress, anxiety, and that sort of thing, and this really does help alleviate a lot of that. I'm not going to say, like, oh, this is going to cure depression or anything like that, but, like, when it comes to pressure situations where you do feel a little bit anxious, if you're breathing through your mouth and you're putting yourself in that fight or flight state, like, it really does help to just calm everything down when you're breathing through your nose, kind of forcing yourself to breathe slowly. I've noticed that it fucking helps a lot. A lot.
And this is the thing to think about. It's like, many people have the habit over time of breathing through their mouth all the time. And we know that breathing through the mouth, first off, it sets off that sympathetic nervous system, that fight or flight. So, like, you might be feeling kind of calm, but your breathing's like this, and you're setting yourself up to be set off by something. It's like, if something comes towards you or something stressful hits you, you're going to be more on edge than relaxed about it. I think that's partially, like, one of the reasons why, like, it's super easy to stay chill. Like, I'm chill, like, all the time. But it's because like I'm always, my breathing's always chill. And even when I shouldn't be, it's problematic sometimes. Even when I probably should be kind of pissed, I'm still pretty fucking chill. But I think it's because my breathing's always pretty fucking relaxed. Other than maybe when I do the Wim Hof stuff, you know. And when I do the Wim Hof stuff, I can feel like you breathe through the mouth and you take in those big breaths so that you can get a bit hyped up. You know what I mean? So the nasal breathing aspect, with all the things we know that stress can do negatively, if this is something that can help you just get out of that or become more relaxed and chill out a bit, but it's something you're doing 24/7, including when you sleep, that's why we're big on nasal breathing when you sleep, it will make a big difference for your life in the long run. This is something that for some people, especially if you have sleep apnea, especially if you have a problem snoring, this will take time to fix, and we're going to find more solutions for all of you. I think we just already posted that episode where Mark talked about the different things he's done for his sleep apnea. But as we're helping you guys figure this out, that puzzle for those of you that snore and do have sleep apnea, when you do get that figured out, you will feel so much better. It's literally, it is a life hack, because a lot of the population does have that problem.
You'll find it rare that when you take a good breath in and out of the nose, that it won't be useful. Like it would, there's a rare situation. If you're like sprinting or something, then there's, you know, there's certain situations where you got to kind of do what you got to do. You're in a real accident or disastrous thing, then maybe your body just reacts a particular way. Mm-hmm. However, again, it's a sign that your heart rate's coming back down. Like you regained your breath from whatever it is that you were doing previously. And if somebody, you get stressful news, stressful information via like a text, you're having a day where like multiple things are kind of going on, I would just always suggest the same thing I always suggest, which is to go outside, go on a walk, breathe in and out of your nose. If you have any time to like distance yourself from something, time and distance are, they heal a lot of things. Time heals all wounds, they say, right? So if you could take a moment and breathe, I just found it really useful. I'm not really a stressed out person per se anyway, but in learning a lot of this nasal breathing stuff over the last few years, I will kind of notice, oh, like you're a little tense. Like what is this? When he had James Smith on the podcast, he talked a lot about how to think about your thoughts. And then once there's like a first thought, which sometimes we don't always have control over that, like the first thought that you have sometimes is halfway random because of a TV show or something weird that you saw. So it's from experiences. And sometimes it's literally just you and your character. And I think that can be like trained and maneuvered over periods of time, but it kind of just is who you are. But from that point, you get to think about the thought that you had, and you get to take a beat on it, and you can. And the moment that you're about to say, wow, this really sucks. Holy shit. I can't believe it. I can't believe he said that. I can't believe she did that. I can't believe she's breaking up with me. I can't believe this happened. You have an opportunity to think about it a little bit more and say to yourself, maybe, I wonder what led up to this? I wonder why that. I wonder if you put yourself in the other person's shoes. Huh, I wonder why they thought that. Rather than you sitting there being like, why me? You know, and then you're mad. Then you're kind of back and forth. So I don't know. These are just things that have been really useful for me. And even just through breathing and just taking a beat and taking a second, putting things on pause for a moment, it's been really helpful. And I understand there's people that are a little more emotional, a little bit more reactionary, but I believe we all kind of have a choice in that moment of what we're going to do, how we're going to react to it.
And for those of you that are like, oh, I have allergies or my nose is stuffed before I go to sleep, look up the Buteyko, Buteyko, nose clearing technique. You can look that up on YouTube. It's like a 5-minute video. It takes you through a small exercise to clear up your nose. So because a lot of people are like, oh, I can't breathe through my nose because it's stuffed, etc. One thing to remember is if you have a tendency to breathe through your mouth for long periods of time, literally the little muscles in your nose will atrophy. It's going to become harder to breathe through your nose since you're not using it as much. So it's going to take you some work to reverse everything that's gone on. Over time, your nostrils will increase. Your breathing will become easier through there, and then it'll just become what you do. It's going to take time, but it's a issue to fix that can be free as long as you just practice it and keep it in mind through your day.
I think try it in your lifting too. Next time you go to work out, you know, try it on a couple sets of seated rows. You don't have to do it the whole workout, but just adopt it and have it be some part of your workout where you're working on some of that nasal breathing. I've introduced it into running, and when a run particularly is set so where I'm like, I'm only nasal breathing, it's going to be a much slower run. It's going to be, but I'm still pushing myself on that run because I want to see how I'm going to recover. I want to see if I push myself harder, if I can still recover, and I can still just kind of stay within nasal breath. But the first, or in and out of the nose, the first few times I tried it, I had to stop. I had to just, I was either like, you need to either stop running and you need to walk for a little bit and continue the nasal breathing, or you need to just switch your breathing up. So I've done both during training, but I try to push it. And 2 days ago, I did like a 25-minute run or so, and I was like, this will just all be nasal breathing. And it was a great recovery workout. I did not run very fast. And then this morning, I ran, and I got another PR in this loop that I run. I think I cut this down by like 12 minutes since I first started. A lot of it, I got to contribute to nasal breathing. So it's fucking working. And if you try it within a workout, whatever style of workouts that you do, you will find that that workout will be, it will feel more like a recovery workout because you might have to slow down. In between sets, you might need time because like, you're probably not used to it. So you might need 2 minutes, 3 minutes to calm back down to do another set so you can just stay breathing in and out of the nose.
And remember, guys, the reason for that is because when you're breathing through the nose versus the mouth, you're breathing through the mouth, you do not produce nitric oxide. You produce nitric oxide when you breathe through your nose. That'll help literally oxygen get better to your muscle tissues in a better way, in a faster way, more efficiently. So you're not, that's not happening when you're breathing through the mouth. It only happens when you breathe through the nose. So we're not joking when we say like the nose was really made for breathing. It's not like you can never breathe through your mouth, but a vast majority of your breathing, especially when you're sleeping, needs to be through your nose. And think about the compounding effect, right? You're now breathing through your nose at night. You're not breathing through your nose during a lot of your workouts. It now becomes a majority of the way you breathe. The compound effect of your recovery and everything else, it's a big deal. It's a big deal.
You breathe out a lot when you're talking. I mean, just the whole show, we're breathing out of our mouth, you know. So you, it's not like you're not getting any of that. And it's not like if you're sprinting or doing high-level jiu-jitsu or you start lifting crazy weights. I mean, it's a good idea when you start getting some heavy weights on your back to probably blow the air out the way that you're used to. You know, you don't need to change any of that. But some of the more mild stuff that you're doing, work on the nasal breathing. Andrew, want to take us on out of here?
Sure thing. Thank you, everybody, for checking out today's episode. Please drop us a comment on your favorite topic of today. I rifled through a bunch of different things, so I want to hear what you guys have to say. And please subscribe if you guys are not subscribed, and make sure you guys drop a like on today's video. If you guys want, you guys can follow the podcast at MB Power Project on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. My Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter is at I am Andrew Z and Seema chugging down that hibiscus. Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Check out Discord, dude. Guys. It's popping. Nsima Yin Yang on Instagram, YouTube, Nsima Yin Yang on TikTok and Twitter. Mark.
Your field goal percentage is good in the afternoon.
It's getting better.
Yeah.
I got to consider that 3 for 3.
That second one?
That second one was bullshit. It went in.
It did. It just swirled the top. It rode that rim.
But it's on the floor, it like though. Doinked out.
Andrew, you missed it because you were getting tea.
I saw part of the bottom of the can. I was just how did that not go in? Because it was already in, and then it
rolled the rim. Guys, go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to us and leave a review. We've been getting a lot of reviews there. So leave one because, I mean, if you like us, if you like us, but I understand if you don't like us, I'm kind of a dick. And Mark, well, he's an asshole. And Andrew, everybody,
everybody hates on me already.
Andrew's a dick too. We're just.
I was just going to say, like, is he the nipples? Like,
are we?
You're a dick. I mean, you know, Andrew the tits.
Wait. Hold on. If we were anatomy, if we were the anatomy of a single man, who would be what?
Obvious. I mean,
do I have to be the asshole?
Nope. Fuck no. If I'm a man and the biggest thing here.
You're the dick.
Why does our dick have to be black?
Hey!
The one thing we've always, wanted.
I do have to be the dick. Remember, we have multiple pieces. We have hands. Legs.
I'll be the balls.
We have balls. Okay. You're supporting everything.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Right?
I'm trying my best. It's getting hot out here in Sacramento, though.
Oh, no. That means I'm the taint asshole. I'm back there somewhere.
You could be the nip. You know what?
The foreskin.
Just because you not only do you co-host, you also produce everything.
So he's the semen.
You could be the... I was going to say the dick hole, but I mean...
I guess both are very specific, and I don't like either one. Oh, the prostate.
Yeah, that's not...
You want to be the prostate?
Everybody loves to poke at me.
Everybody likes to milk the prostate. All right, you're the prostate. Let's go.
I see a shirt being made right now.
Just when I thought this show couldn't get any worse.
Why the fuck did I do this? Why did we do this?
And totally redeemed ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Let's go.
I'm at Mark Smelly Bell. Strength is never weakness. Weakness never strength. Catch you guys later. Bye.
Good ending.